All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to have Sister Elizabeth Jimenez, who's going to be sharing some great things with us this morning. We greatly love and appreciate Brother Adam and Sister Elizabeth Jimenez. As you, many of you know, they are our Sunday school directors. They're great leaders in our church. But more important than that, they have a true love and a burden and desire for our kids and our children. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Elizabeth. Sister Elizabeth, go right ahead.
Thank you so much, Brother Vic. Praise the Lord, everyone. I love you all. I love my church. And I'm so blessed to be and honored to be able to talk today and just to share something that's on my heart. I would like to start off, first of all, I hope everyone's doing well. And I guess this is called the second wave. It seems a little bit more mild, which is nice. But I hope everyone's going through that okay. And if you haven't had a chance to eat breakfast yet, I apologize, because the first thing I'm going to talk about is one of my favorite seasons ever, and that is fall. And with fall comes one of my favorite holiday ever, Thanksgiving. And when you're preparing for Thanksgiving, you know, there's so many dishes. I know not everyone loves it, but a lot of us do love that super tasty, delicious, flavorful pumpkin pie with lots of spices and the clove. And if you don't like pumpkin pie, then maybe you like a fresh baked apple pie that just has the sauce oozing out of the crust, maybe with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top after you've had so much Thanksgiving feast. For us, we do the traditional Thanksgiving with the mashed potatoes and the ham and the turkey. And I'm not a huge turkey fan, but I do eat it for Thanksgiving just to follow the tradition. And cranberry sauce and stuffing and huge hot buttery rolls. Well, when you're preparing for those things, the first thing you do is you go to the grocery store and you go shopping and you want to make this delicious apple pie, or perhaps you want to do homemade biscuits. In my family, huge flaky homemade biscuits. The secret is cold butter that you put into it. And bear with me, I do have my kids with me, so if you hear anything in the background, it's my son. But flaky biscuits and delicious rolls, we like to make those homemade sometimes. And when you're going out to buy your ingredients, the first thing you do is you have your cart and you're going down the aisle and you're looking at the different brands. You go for the gold medal flour, and you go for the C&H sugar, and you go for the Arm & Hammer baking soda. I mean, you just hit those brands and you grab them and you throw them into the basket. If you're making the apple pie, you're grabbing the Libby's can of pumpkin puree. And for some of you brothers, you may not be super familiar with how all that works, but for some of you sisters who do a lot of the shopping, and some of you brothers who might enjoy cooking and baking, you know the brands I'm referring to. Well, why do we do that? Why do we go for those brands most of the time? They are best sellers for a reason. They've been around for years. It's because we know those brands. We know what they are. And I want to thank Brother Roseberry, first of all, for inspiring me. I have had God dealing with me about something for a while. And in the middle of it, I thought, okay, I don't feel like I've conquered this completely. And Pastor Clark recently spoke about this. He spoke about being friendly to one another. And it really ministered to me. And that this is where I'm at personally right now. And this is what I'm sharing with you. But when you're shopping, you grab those brands that you're familiar with, because you know the brand by, you can see it in the aisle, you recognize it, you're familiar with it. You know how that brand works. You have confidence because you're comfortable with it, because that's what you know. And so when you're going shopping, you know if you're going to do baking with apples, you're probably going to want to reach for the Granny Smith apples, because that's what you're comfortable with. That's what you know. If you want to make a nice, delicious display, you probably want to use the Red Delicious apples because they're so red and beautiful. You know those brands. But the Lord's been dealing with me about something, we tend to shop and we go for those brands that we know that we're comfortable with, but people are not groceries. And so it's easy to do that to people too. You just tend to go to church and you just hang out with the people that you know, that you're comfortable with. Maybe the first people you got acquainted with when you got into the church. Maybe the people that you bonded with over a common interest. And it's super comfortable and it's easy. It's not uncomfortable. You're not really having to stretch yourself. You're not really having to push yourself because you know those people. And for one reason or another, you're more comfortable with them. These are the people that I hang with because I'm comfortable. We both have an interest or a love for this or that. Or we both like to do the same things, or the group of us. And it's easy to form this comfortable little brand. And that is not how the kingdom of God is meant to work. We're not groceries, and we're not supposed to just go for what makes us comfortable like that. And a biblical example of this is David and Jonathan. And this really spoke to me. I was reading about this, and I get joy out of the Word of God. I just love it. David and Jonathan have one of the most beautiful biblical friendships that you could read about. And if you think about the two, David and Jonathan had such a close bond, and the Bible even says that Jonathan loved David like he loved his own soul. I mean, they were extremely connected. They were bonded as friends, like brothers. And Jonathan was the oldest son of Saul. He was in line to take the throne. He was supposed to be the king, but because of some poor decisions that Saul made, that was lost to him. And David was the one that was anointed in his place. And if you think about their background, Jonathan was raised, I've done some study and I'm not 100% sure, but by the time that Saul was anointed king, Jonathan may have already been born and old enough to understand what was going on, but he got used to that. That was what he knew. He knew that his father was the king, which made him a prince in a way. And so he was used to that. He knew what came with that. He was comfortable with that. Meanwhile, David was a shepherd boy. He was forgotten. When Samuel was looking for someone to anoint and God directed him to Jesse's house, Jesse brought all of his sons and forgot about David. David was used to the fields. Shepherding is not the most easy, clean task. I mean, he was out in the field, it probably wasn't the cleanest or the easiest at all. It was probably hot, sweaty work at times, probably boring at times, very lonely or quiet at times. But this is the way that David was used to. Two totally different backgrounds. And then he was called into service for Saul as the years went by. And Jonathan and David became acquainted and they formed this friendship. But what would have happened if they were never comfortable with each other because they weren't familiar. Their backgrounds were different. Oh, David's just that little shepherd boy. His own dad didn't really even think of him when it came time to have, you know, one of his sons anointed. And it would have been easy for David on the flip side to say, oh, I'm just used to the shepherds, to the pastures and the fields. I don't know what it's like. He's royalty. I don't hang out with those kind of people. I don't fit in with that. If they'd had those sorts of branding in their mind, that friendship would have never unfolded. And through that friendship, Jonathan ended up saving David's life. And they made a covenant. David promised he would never come against Jonathan or his house and took care of him when he became king. And it's one of the most beautiful friendships that's spoken of. But they had to get past some differences. And it probably wasn't the most comfortable friendship because at times Jonathan was in between his father who hated David, and in between David and Saul. And Jonathan had to try to make things, he would try to defend David to his father, and then he'd have to go warn David. So he was stuck in the middle. It was not an easy position for Jonathan. But Jonathan and David formed that friendship beyond everything. They didn't look at each other like groceries. This is my person. This is who I'm familiar with. They reached out and formed a beautiful friendship. And it's one of the most beautiful friendships, and it speaks to me because the backgrounds really jumped out at me. And it's easy to do that to each other. If you're the person that says, well, I'm not comfortable, you know, they have a history or a life I don't know. How can I possibly connect with them? They're going to think I'm silly or don't have any depth because I haven't been through what they've been through. Or on the flip side, you say, I've been through so much. That person was either raised in church or has been in church for many years. They couldn't possibly relate to me. How in the world will we ever be comfortable with each other? But that's not how God's called the church to be. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Basically, I love this scripture because it basically means we can't all be the same brand. We can't all have the same characteristics. Otherwise, the church is going to lose so much of what makes it valuable to the world. We'll lose what makes it such an effective light, each individual testimony. And we have to learn to love each other and be connected. Because further down it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. So we should love each other because we are different, because we have different things to offer. And real quick, I'm almost done. Personal experience, I was in a specific church, and I hadn't been there for very long, and I was a young, young girl.
Ms. Elizabeth, can I cut in real quick, Ms. Elizabeth?
Yes, absolutely.
You said that you're almost done and I want you to take your time. This is very good. You have time, so just take your time, sister.
Okay, I appreciate it, Brother Vic. I was a young lady in the youth group, barely into the youth group, and I didn't know a whole lot about the youth group, and I was having a hard time fitting in. I had come from a really painful situation, so I, in my own self, was very turned into myself, was very much on my own in a lot of ways because I was hurting and in need of healing. And so when that happened, I was going through that, and I remember there was a new family that arrived, and they had been in church for a while. They had moved from a different area, and they had three beautiful daughters. And these girls were moved. They had moved from a place they did not know. I mean, they had moved from a place they knew to a place they did not know. And they basically were a little shy because they were in a new environment. And so they kind of sat with their parents, and they had such a sweet spirit. But if you're young, sometimes you can miss the obvious. And a lot of the young people in the youth group sort of put them in the wrong category because these girls were shy. And they had such beautiful spirits. They sat very sweetly. They just didn't really reach out because they were the newcomers. They felt uncomfortable. But some of the young people that were of the same age, not everybody, but a few, sort of had an idea of them. They branded them from the start. They kind of branded them as snotty or snooty or snobby because these girls were shy and were they didn't feel comfortable to reach out right away. And they had been raised in a way that they had their hair all done and they had beautiful clothes. And not everybody was that same way where I was at that time. And so they kind of got branded, but they were misinterpreted entirely. And so for months, these girls sat by themselves with their parents. And it was really sad looking back and thinking about it and remembering, I kind of could relate because in a lot of ways I didn't fit in at first either because of my background, but I didn't feel comfortable or confident to reach out. And over time, they had a young sister who was my age. She was quite a few years younger than the other two. So the two of us hit it off easily because we were on a common ground. But the older two really struggled to connect because they had been branded as a certain type of person. They had been characterized already. They had been put on the shelf like groceries, like they were a specific brand or type that wasn't going to work well with the other groceries sitting on the pews, if you catch my meaning. But over time, finally, they reached out to the girls So it was the other way around, and they were the ones that showed themselves friendly and reached out, and they formed some of the most beautiful friendships. They became an incredible and beautiful influence in the church. To this day, they have become a powerful influence and a strong influence, and they helped the others grow and to become beautiful, strong influences in their spirit as well. And so they were the ones that reached out. Now, it is a flip side. Usually the church should be the ones reaching out, but this was a good lesson for us to learn as a youth group. We had branded them like groceries. If we weren't careful, we could have missed out on a beautiful friendship and relationship because they were extremely unifying and edifying to the youth group. And they were one of the best things that could have happened at that time because the church went through some struggles and some hardships right after that. And it was like it was a time where a lot of the young people had to make a decision. And I really firmly believe that those three young ladies influenced the youth group to make the right decisions when it really counted. And because of that, I'm so grateful to have known them and to still know them. One of them I'm extremely close to, the one that was my age, very good friends. But I say that to say we looked at them and they were a different part of the body. They had something new to contribute. And if we were intimidated, and a lot of other people were intimidated by the older girls and branded them and said, oh, I don't know. I don't know if it was them saying, oh, they are snobby. I don't think I'm going to bond well with them. Or if it was, oh, they're so much, look at, they're so established. They have so much know-how and knowledge about things. I can't connect with them. There's no way. Either way, there was a schism, as the Bible says, but it was healed, and because of that, the body was made even better through that. So that's something that's been on my heart. I'm not strong in this area. I'm being transparent. I get shy. I know I'm outgoing when I speak, but that's a learned behavior. My natural behavior is to curl up in my house on the corner of my couch with a book. That's just my personality, and I've had to learn to reach out and to connect. And I'm reaching out to the church today to express how I feel and what God has put on my heart to reach out to people and to connect and bond. And I really feel we can help each other in these areas. Some of you that just naturally, my husband has never met a stranger, loves everybody, and he is not afraid to express that. It takes me a little bit of time to warm up. And so I get shy and it holds me back. My husband has no qualms about reaching out and connecting with people. He misses people if he's not around people. And so he has helped me grow in this area, and we can help each other. Some of you could help some of us that struggle with that, and the rest of us, we can learn by watching these good examples to reach out and love one another for the differences. And it is uncomfortable at times. It is a stretch, but Pastor Clark preached a message about this and showing the love of Christ and appreciating each other for being different parts of the body. And that is something that's been on my heart, and I really feel like this will bring together unity. Pastor Clark's message on Wednesday was so deep, and it really spoke to me that, yes, there's a time that this is a time to make a decision, but those of us who are earnest and we want to do what's right, we need to really bind together and reach those that are trying, that are showing that they want to make the right decisions, and this is the time for us to connect with each other as a body. And I wanted to just share that today, that this is something that God's been dealing with me about for a while, and I'm really working on it. It's not my strength, but I am determined that I'm going to get better. I'm going to be a good example for my boys. It's easier for me to connect with children. I feel like there's a part of me that's a child or childlike, and I just love to connect with kids. But this is a time that we need to be connecting as adults and families and young people and everybody connecting together, because this is how revival is going to unfold, is having that love and that bond like David and Jonathan. So God bless you all. I love you all, and I hope that this has spoken to you in Jesus' name.
And it has, Sister Elizabeth. This was tremendous this morning. I just got to say, when Sister Elizabeth started, boy, she started talking about apple pie and pumpkin pie and all these great desserts. Pie never sounded so good. And as soon as I heard Sister Elizabeth's voice, I thought, boy, what a great happiness and joyfulness in her voice. But I understand now that she was just buttering us up with all these desserts because she was planning on giving us some strong meat. And that's exactly what she did. She began to offer us the ingredients of unity and solidarity that a church needs in order to be successful And she put it at the very end, in order to have revival. And the other thing I want to say is, you know, Brother Adam and Sister Elizabeth, they are such a great example of connecting and reaching out to people and showing love to everyone and to anyone. And even though Sister Elizabeth said it's kind of a something that she has to kind of make an effort, and Brother Adam, it flows easily with him. Hey, that's the truth with everyone, church. But thank God for this great message and such a candid message that Sister Elizabeth gave us this morning. Let's all work to be that church, that friendly church that connects with everyone, not just with just a few, but with everybody. Well, with that said, everyone, we want to say thank you for being on the devotion, Sister Elizabeth. It was tremendous. And we want to remind everyone to join us on our couples devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. We look forward to having everyone back. And with that said, everyone have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.